Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. He's the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. So how do you make your marriage last? I'm glad you asked. And if you happen to have the answer to that and want to share your story, Dr. Randy is taking your calls. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the broadcast studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I welcome you to the Intentional Living Center. We're talking about marriage today, and that's one of the essentials of life. If you're a married person, you know how essential it is to your happiness, your life, your relationships, your family. And when it hurts, you hurt. And when you hurt, it hurts. And we've talked from time to time about some of the ingredients that tend to hold together some marriages while others seem to fall apart. Ever notice that? You know, some marriages seem to really work and some don't. And we think, well, are those people that have long-term marriages that work, are they just smarter? Are they more godly? Are they wiser? Or did they grow up in homes where they saw the model of how marriage works? I think all of those are part of it, for sure. And certainly as Christians, we know the ingredient of being godly in terms of our life and our relationship with each other is huge. The research is pretty clear that a couple that are Christians, that go to church together and pray together and really, I don't mean just, quote, I'm a Christian, but really practicing their faith intentionally, have a lower divorce rate than those who don't. So we know that that certainly is one of the ingredients that will make a marriage work. Today we've been asking the question, and on Facebook as well, you know, what is it that makes the marriage work? Belinda says, for men to realize that they were created from mere dust, but a woman was created from prime rib. So, okay, I get it. Obviously, it's communication and trust, she goes on to say, with a big helping of respect. And I think for you, Belinda, probably some humor in there as well. What is it that holds a marriage together? We got calls we're going to get to here. And by the way, we welcome you to share in with your comments. You can share your stories on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Press number 2 will take you right to our story line. Let's start with Dave, who's on the line in Arizona. Hey, Dave, how you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Randy.
Appreciate it. How long have you been married?
Well, 31 years, and 3.5 years ago, I lost Nancy. And,
oh, I'm sorry.
I'm saddened by that, but
yes.
God is a good God, and good things are in progress. But the marriage was certainly a very good thing. I think of him saying that you find a wife finds a good thing, and
yes,
that was very true. And
was that an unexpected death?
It was 3 years in the coming because of a fight with cancer, so
oh,
it was kind of expected, and it was a sort of a rich 3 years, probably some
sure.
of the best in our. In our marriage.
Yeah, I want to hear about that in a moment. I want to ask you about that in a moment. But tell me, during those 31 years, what was the one ingredient that you think kind of held everything together? I mean, what was one of the things that really held you together?
Well, not at all cliche, Jesus. Because I thought of it as a game changer. When you're a kid and you have some of those games where you have a base or a home and you go there and you're safe and the people can't tag you or whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus was wow. that for us because, yeah, we had hard times, disagreements, things we didn't like about each other or had to grow to understand about each other. But it was as though there were no other options than working through it. You go to Jesus and find your safe place and keep working on your marriage. So as committed Christians, just knowing that it would not honor him, it would not please him, it was not his plan for the marriage to dissolve or whatever one might want to call that, it was just like not an option to do anything except keep going back to him.
Good for you. Now, those last 3 years, can't imagine. Don't wish that on anybody, Dave, and I know you've been through it and you've learned some lessons. You look back. What were those 3 years like in terms of what have you learned about, I don't know, about life and marriage and priorities?
Hard. She was a very godly person, just an encouragement. And through that year, those several years, the testimony that she had and the suffering, she in some ways suffered physically, but just knowing that her survival was not very likely, was hard for me, and I wanted to fix it. I wanted to, you know, get it, see another doctor, all this stuff. And some of my pressure on that, I had to realize that, you know, God was allowing her in control, and just admire and be with her as she was being strong, but really treasured her more than, I think it's hard for us fellas sometimes to realize we're not treasuring our wives the way we should, and something like that coming in your life really does help to bring the focus where it should be.
And where are you now? How you doing?
I'm real involved in a church and just loving it, and have support from family. And, you know, there's a sense in which I have a chance just to give back. And I think of Paul being in prison and saying that his circumstances had turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And he didn't choose his circumstance. I didn't choose mine, but God's using it.
Yeah, good for you. Well, Dave, I really appreciate your call today. You've enriched, I think, our time and our discussion. And we wish you the very best and pray for you that the future will be bright, and God will continue to use what you've learned for his benefit and his glory in the future.
Thank you for your program. Really, I have radios on timers around the house, and your program is on every one of them.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be here, Dave. Appreciate it.
God bless you and your ministry. Thank you. Bye.
I think Dave reminds us that, I don't think, I know. Listen, life is short. I was looking at my top 10 list of things that hold marriage together, and you know, there are, you know, we talk about forgiveness and shared values, but one of the things I had down here was just grow up. Growing up should marry. And you go through what Dave has been through and what his wife went through, you're going to grow up pretty fast. I mean, if you weren't growing up before, you will be during that process, or you're going to collapse under the weight. In growing up spiritually, understanding that there are things that we can control, and there's things that we can't control. There's things that matter and things that don't matter. I'm sure if we talked to Dave further, he would have said, hey, there are a lot of things that didn't matter during those 3 years. Come on now. Let's face it. Look at the stuff that we focus on in our marriages, guys, that are a great big fat deal until all of a sudden there's a cancer diagnosis. And then it's not a big deal at all. And so majoring on the majors, focusing on the things that really matter, is a great starting point. Part of that is just growing up, being responsible for our time, our work, our eyes, our attitude, being responsible for the words that come out of our mouth, and it's a part of it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13 that we are to grow to maturity, to encourage each other, to live in harmony and peace, and then the love of God and peace will be with you. And that's a promise. That's good. So again, Dave, thank you for sharing with us. We're talking about today, you know, what is I think of it as kind of glue-like, you know, Velcro too, I guess. What is it that holds your marriage together? And we have something very special, very, very special that we're doing. We, meaning Dr. Kevin Lehman and I, we'll talk about in a moment, to really help you with your marriage and with your kids. And it's available to everybody. You may have to travel to come, but wherever you are, you can. I'll tell you about it in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. You know, we've raised 5 kids, and we never had a curfew for any of the children. And let me tell you, they hated it. They absolutely hated it. Dad, would you just tell me what time I need to be home? You'd be home at a reasonable hour. Dad, would you just tell me what time I need to be home? Honey, we've had this conversation. Be home at a reasonable hour. You know, there's something wonderful, folks, about expecting the best of your kids. I know some of you are saying, Lehman, if I said that to my kid, they'd be home at 3:45 in the morning. Well, let me assure you, that'd be the last time they'd be home at 3:45 in the morning with a car that I own and I insure. thinking the best of your kids, expecting the best of the kids, letting them make decisions when they're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old pays off, not only in the immediate future, but for all of life. Teaching kids to live a responsible life is what every parent should be doing.
All right. Hey, listen, you know, that by the way, that's Dr. Kevin Lehman. And Kevin and I are going to be doing a reunion tour. He's always taught that principle about, you know, don't give your kids a curfew. You just trust them and then you hold them accountable. And so I want to debate that with him. I've always wanted to debate because I'm not sure I totally agree with him on that. We tried it and we said, no, we always want our kids to know what was expected. And so I'll tell you what, at the conference with Kevin and I want one of you, when we get to the Q&A session, to ask the question on curfews, okay? That'll give me an opportunity for Kevin and I to debate that a little bit. Hey, listen, what conference? Dr. Kevin Lehman and I are going on tour, a reunion tour. We're going to be in Albuquerque on Saturday, April the 7th at Hoffmantown Church. And Kevin's focusing on parenting from his best-selling book, Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours. And I'm going to be talking about how to have a loving, intentional marriage. What does that mean? I'm bringing a lot of new material for those of you who have been with me in my past conferences. And we're going to be taking some Q&A as well. Saturday, April 7th, Hoffmantown Church, Albuquerque, and also in Glendale, Saturday, April 21st, a couple weeks later at the Glendale Nazarene Church. Listen, get your tickets right off, okay? I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on the events will be there. You can find the event section and get your tickets, okay? All the proceeds go to the ministry. Encourage you to do it early. This is the time to get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. We're going to talk about, remind me now at the conference, somebody come remind me, we're going to talk about curfews at the Hope for Your Home conferences. We're talking today, though, about marriage. What are some of the ingredients, or at least one thing, the glue that kind of holds things together? Christy's been waiting in New Mexico. And, George, I'll get to you in a moment, but let's go to Christy first. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
I appreciate your call. How long have you been married, Christy?
It will be 39 years this July.
Well, congratulations. What is it, when you think about it, what's kind of a glue that's held you guys together?
Having a Christ-centered marriage that's based on biblical principles.
Give us some examples. What does that flesh out like? I mean, what does it look like?
Okay, first of all, forgiving one another as Christ forgives us. On my part, honoring my husband.
Mm.
And in turn, he loves me as Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
Putting each other first, because the scripture tells us to prefer others above ourselves, mm-hmm. and that's also what Christ did. And looking to the Lord for fulfillment rather than to each other.
That's a difficult thing to do because we have such high expectations of other people. I tell people we judge ourselves on our own intentions, right? Yeah, but we judge somebody else on their action. And so I'd say, well, this is my intention, and you misread me. And little things, how do you deal with the little things that kind of pop up in marriage over these 39 years?
Well, it's just like I'm also a pastor's wife, and sometimes people, ladies in the church, will come up to me and they'll say, well, it just bothers me when my husband, and then they'll continue on. And I tell them kind of jokingly, but sort of true, is sometimes I just want to pinch my husband's head off. But then I realize I do things.
No, that from the mouth of a pastor's wife.
but then I continue with, there are many things that I do that I know frustrates him.
Yeah.
And he loves me in spite of that. And I should love him in spite of those things.
Yeah.
Because that's the way Christ loves us.
Absolutely.
We're not perfect.
Mm.
I shouldn't expect him to be perfect. He shouldn't expect me to be perfect. And I'm not saying our marriage is perfect. It's not, because we're both human.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's good advice. Hey, let me ask you, Christy, pastor's wife, okay? People are listening. Come on, I want the honesty now. What do people in the congregation need to know about the pastor and the pastor's wife in terms of helping? I mean, what is it that you would always want to be able to say to people about taking care of your pastor and your pastor's wife and family? What would it be?
Wow. Don't begrudge them things that they may, you know, a lot of times if you do something, if you're able and you scrape up the money to take a trip, don't look at them and say, well, they shouldn't be able to do that. How can they do that? They should be living sacrificially. Well, you don't know how much sacrifice the pastor and pastor's wife make with time with their family, with time, personal time alone. We're always expected to drop everything right now and hop to that need of our congregation. But a lot of times the pastor and pastor's wife have needs or things that are going on in their family. And a lot of times the church membership don't show up. Say, yeah. For example, if you have a family member that's in the hospital and going through a difficult time, there's not that response that we give to the congregation. They don't, a lot of times, do it in return.
Yeah, they're thinking, hey, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. And missing the fact that you're people, too. I mean, you're part of the church, and you have challenges and hurts like everybody else.
Right.
That's a good reminder. Well, Christy, I appreciate talking to you today.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. I'm glad you're listening. Well, by the way, are you in Albuquerque area or where in New Mexico?
Yes.
In Albuquerque. Okay.
Yes, we're in Albuquerque.
I tell you what, you hang on. I don't know. I'm gonna get you a couple tickets for the upcoming Hope for Your Home tour. Maybe you and your husband, if you can come. If you can't, you give them to somebody who could benefit. But we'd love to have you come as our guest, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. In fact, you hang on. We'll make those Gold Circle tickets, okay, Sally? Will you do that? Gold Circle tickets for Christy and her husband, pastor husband, who sometimes she wants to pinch his head off. But yeah, she won't do that after being at our conference, which we'll talk more about in just a moment. You know, we're talking about the things that make marriage last, and she and Christy said it very well. It's, you know, you got to keep coming back to the things that matter. You got to come back to really, truly submitting. The Bible says, you know, that we often go to wife, submit to your husbands, Ephesians 5:22. Guys have that circle in their Bible, right? You know, submit. But miss the verse before, 5:21 always precedes 5:22, where Paul gives this universal principle here, submitting one to another out of fear of God. And so let me say to guys, we're commanded not only to be in leadership, but also in a submissive role, and we're to submit to one another. And smart guys know when to really submit to their spouse, because submission is not that's not a lack of leadership. Sometimes, even in the workplace, come on, if you're in a workplace, you know this, sometimes you submit to those who know better than you do. You do that intentionally, and that's a good thing. We're talking about marriages that last today. You're welcome to join in with your thoughts on our comment line, 888-888-1717. And more about that upcoming Hope for Your Home tour here in just a moment.
Has anyone ever challenged the realness of your faith? Challenged you about the Bible or America's Christian roots? Well, Intentional Living Center has planned the perfect vacation for you and your family this October. The Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour will take you on historian-guided tours, giving you the true story behind Washington's most iconic sites. And your faith will be affirmed and strengthened as you visit the brand new 430,000 square foot Bible Museum. You'll also join Dr. Randy Carlson and other listeners to pray for our nation and its leaders. October will be here before you know it, so register now at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington.
Do you have a hard time forgiving people who have done something wrong to you? And maybe you feel like you don't owe someone forgiveness unless they've asked for it.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Maybe you find yourself carrying hurt and unforgiveness for a really long time, even though there's nothing you can do to change it. Lack of forgiveness hurts the person carrying the hurt far more than it hurts the person who needs to be forgiven. And oftentimes, the person who has hurt you has done so without even being aware of that hurt. It's not a burden worth carrying, and the release opens up a new level of relationship with God. It's a manifestation of His love and grace for us. If we don't learn how to forgive, then how can we really feel the gift of being forgiven by God? For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Greg. He's a great guy. I appreciate Greg. He's one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center. If you're a new listener, or maybe you've been around for a while but never really plugged into the fact that Intentional Living Center is a place, but it's also, because we're connected electronically by radio and online around the world, not only is it a place, but we really see this as a community. I take what we do here on the radio, for instance, as a community. The door's open, you're here, we're talking to each other, we're interacting online, and you know what our purpose is? If you've ever looked at our purpose here at the ministry, our purpose is to help you find what your purpose is, in this case, for your marriage. What is God's purpose or intention for your marriage? And then to live it, and then to enjoy it, and then to multiply by sharing your life with others, to be a person of service and impacting the lives of others. And when we see people, men and women, who've chosen to be intentional, you can hear it in their voices as they tell their stories on the air. There's a difference when you hear someone say, "Hey, I choose to be intentional," and there's something that happens in us spiritually, relationally, emotionally, when we move in this healthy direction. And that's why we're here. That's why this ministry exists. I'll tell you about our upcoming conference with Kevin and myself here in just a moment. First, I'd like to get to George. He's been waiting patiently in Wisconsin. George, welcome to the program, and thank you for your call.
No problem. I'm actually honored to be on the taping with you.
Well, I appreciate your call. Tell me, how long you been married, George?
Well, I've been married less than a year, and with my current wife for 4 years.
So what are some things what have you learned that, for even in this short time, that makes the marriage work?
Well, actually, a couple of things that actually go hand in hand, in my personal opinion. It's actually honesty and commitment.
Mm. Well, and those are both on my list. When we talk about commitment, in fact, number two on my list, George, is commit freely. Because we, as I said in the past, we live in this replacement culture, you know, where there's a sense of just, if it doesn't work, replace it, as opposed to really being committed, which is something that God wants us to do. Now, do you find, what is it after a year that you have found? I know it's a short time, so you still got some years ahead of you, but where are you today compared to a year ago? What's one thing that has helped you get through this year that's been a good point in your marriage?
Being honest and committed, even in any relationship, personally is better than what my dad always calls it, a white lie.
Mm-hmm. It's those small little lies, yeah. Well, now let me tell you something, George. I found, when you talk about honesty, let me share something that'll be helpful for you only a year into your marriage. God, we want to be honest with you. We need to be. We need to have transparency to grow in our marriage. But every thought that passes through our mind doesn't necessarily have to be said. Because let's face it, there's sometimes we're going to say something that's not going to build up the marriage. You know, that's what I'm feeling at that moment. I want to say it. Well, that may not be the smartest thing to say. You got to process that and think about it. So in our marriages, to really think, and I agree with you on the honesty, by the way, but you're going to find as you go through the years ahead, there are times where you're going to say, wait a minute, okay, I've been building up some things. I don't want to just back up and dump all this on my spouse because it's not going to build up my marriage. But this idea of having honesty, like you said, George, I agree. Honesty, commitment, transparency, openness, communication is what will move you. See, it's what's going to move you from this idea of, well, you know, 1 year to making it to 50 years. And you can do it if you balance it and do it intentionally.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I was commenting on how I've been intentional in my marriage. And my husband and I have had a lot of issues, I guess, prior to us getting married. We've been married almost 7 years now. And one thing that I've learned personally is three things. I have to pray all the time. And I also pray that God would tell me when to speak, because sometimes things have to be expressed or your spouse might not know how you feel about them. I pray for God to tell me when I should be silent, because sometimes I talk too much. And then I also pray, we pray together that we grow closer to God, sort of like the triangle concept. The closer we get to God, the closer we're going to get to each other. So I hope that blesses someone, and thank you so much, Dr. Randy, for the information that you give us from God's perspective.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad to do it. Hey, listen, we're running out of time here. A couple things I have to get to you. One is a reminder that Dr. Kevin Lehman and I, in our Hope for Your Home tour, which is also going to be humor and help, is going to be coming to Albuquerque. We arrive Saturday, April 7th at Hoffmantown Church. Doors will open at 8 o'clock in the morning. Come on, it's going to be a great morning. We're going to talk about marriage and parenting, making children mine without losing yours. That's Kevin's assignment. I'm going to be talking about intentional marriage. We'll be taking some Q&A together, and we'd love to have you come and be a part of it. Albuquerque, April 7th, Hoffmantown Church. Glendale Nazarene Church in Glendale, Phoenix area, Saturday, April 21st. All the information is available at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Also, I want to thank some folks who've joined us in support of the ministry. Hey, listen, I want to say thank you to Tim in Phoenix. You've joined us for $20 a month. All of it's going to help us further the ministry. Thank you. And the new member kit's coming your way with the two of our best-selling books and the monthly teaching, ongoing teaching every month thereafter. Jesse, thank you from Phoenix as well for your support. And then Matthias has joined us from Stanwood, Michigan. $100 a month in support. That makes a big difference. Thank you. Appreciate it. You can join us as well. Become a part of the team today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you click on the donate button. Same website for the information for our conferences. You heard about the tour this fall going to Washington. And immediately coming up here in just a few weeks, our spring Hope for Your Home series with Dr. Kevin Lehman and myself. If you have some feedback today, you want to share with us your thoughts on the Intentional Living message and ministry, join us on Facebook. Come to our website or go to Facebook/Intentional Living or go to theintentionallife.com. All the information's there for you. This ministry is dedicated to helping you live an intentional life in Christ. I want to thank Rob and Stephen and Sally and the rest of the team. God bless you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.